The Front Porch is brought to you by the Charleston Gazette Mail, bringing you both sides of the story on its dueling editorial pages. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. Welcome to The Front Porch, and this is our year-end best stories of 2015 edition. I'm Scott Finn, executive director here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm joined, as always, by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee.
Hey, Scott.
And Lori Lynn of the Charleston Gazette Mail.
Hi, Scott.
May I just suggest that maybe best stories might not be the best description because some of these are kind of downers.
Most important.
Yeah.
Okay, the biggest, the hugest,
yeah,
as Donald Trump would say, stories of 2015. And if you agree with us or disagree or whatever, let us know. Send me a tweet. I'm at Radio Finn. Rick Wilson, you're at
El Cabrero.
And I am WV Pundet. I'm actually thinking about changing it. I think I might be too old for something that ends with et.
What would you change it to?
Maybe just Lori Lynn. Something crazy like that.
I don't know, rebranding is hard, you know? Like, well, it's a lot of work.
Well, it was anonymous for a while, which is why. But, you know, people know who I am now.
Well, if anyone has an idea for what Lori Lynn should call herself on Twitter.
Polite ideas, please.
Let her know. And so we're going to start with what we think our totally unscientific list of the biggest, hugest stories of 2015 starts with the collapse of the coal industry.
I've been laid off three times in the last year, and it's not because I don't try to find a job, because I found three. Oh, it's awful. I'll tell you, this place would be a ghost town if they don't do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that some of us have been predicting or expecting for a long time, and I think there's been a lot of denial about it, but there's no denying that, especially in southern West Virginia, these are really hard times. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen this much. People have seen worse there if you look back at the early collapse of coal in the 50s and 60s and at different periods, but no doubt the population's leaving, it's affecting local governments, affecting local schools.
I think the question is this time different? We've seen our booms and busts for the last 100 years. Is this something significantly different?
You know, you hear people talk like if the politics would change, then everything would totally spring back. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think we're going through a serious structural change.
Number two, and related to the collapse of coal, state budget woes.
Big hole in the state budget, largely caused by the reduction in the severance tax receipts, which is the tax on coal and natural gas and other things, but mainly just the fact that less coal is being mined, the prices are way down, obviously, and even in the natural gas area, which had propped us up for a while, prices are a lot lower now. So yeah, that, and I think it's going to be even worse, we're going to find, than people have thought.
So the legislature is coming up. Is this going to dominate this session of the legislature?
I think so. I think it's such a problem. You know, the liberal fantasy of higher tax rates and the conservative fantasy of tax cuts, I just don't think there's a lot of room.
I do think some of the political leadership had originally thought about going deep on state tax reform, but I think the tax situation, the budget situation, has gone so bad that I don't think there's going to be
there's just not a lot of air in the room for that now, I think.
So we'll have a longer discussion about this next year, but one of the questions is, will they or will they not increase any taxes to deal with this, including the state cigarette tax, the tobacco tax? But even if they do that, it's such a hole that they're going to have to be some pretty massive cuts. There's just no way around it. So as part of this, we can't forget, even though it seems like a long time ago, that in January something very momentous happened.
Yes. So the second week of the year, and this would be my nomination for the biggest story, for the first time in eight decades, a Republican legislature was sworn in. And, you know, that was obviously a sea change. We haven't had Republicans in control of that part of state government for, you know, four generations. So I think they got a lot done. We saw this week the big news about West Virginia getting taken off of the judicial hellhole list. And that was as a result of a lot of the tort reform bills that they passed.
So now we're no longer on the hellhole list. We're on the hellhole watch list, right? Like we could backslide or something.
Some may say we're in danger of becoming another kind of hole, but I'm not really going to go there.
It's a secondary list, but yes. And I would say that substantively, that was probably the main accomplishment.
You've said this before, Lori, and I think it's really prescient, that it's perhaps a little bit of a surprise that the Republicans won both the Senate and the House, and that a lot of the things that they wanted to get done, they just didn't have enough time to pull off in that session. Are we going to see a lot of that stuff come back in January?
I think so, yeah. You know, nobody expected on election night 2014 that the Senate would flip as well as the House. And I think, you know, you can obviously do a lot more with both houses, especially since you can override the governor's veto with just a simple majority. So, yeah, we talked last week about right to work, intermediate appellate court, maybe charter schools.
Next on our list, the great pepperoni roll war between all West Virginians of good faith and Sheetz.
Well, I put it on Facebook, and in no way ever did I ever tell anybody to boycott Sheetz. That's just not the way I do it. I just inform, you know, my Facebook that we were no longer going to sell pepperoni Sheetz as of August the 3rd. It went viral. People's calling for boycotts and da-da-da, you know. And it just got back to Sheetz. You know, the customers, West Virginia spoke. I mean, it wasn't just about our bakery. It was about every bakery. It was about the pepperoni roll in general.
And let's give Sheetz some props. I mean, Sheetz did the right thing. They were responsive to the voice of the people, which rose as one. And in Latin, vox populi, vox Dei, voice of the people, voice of God. So, you know.
Didn't we beat Sheetz into submission? I don't think it was as gentle as what you're saying. I think it was a social media firestorm that forced Sheetz to move.
It was a storm of some kind, I will say.
Let's just remind people what it was. There was indications that Sheetz was considering eliminating pepperoni rolls made in West Virginia from its convenience stores and replacing them with some pepperoni rolls made in where?
I believe Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, huge uproar, and Sheetz back down. They kept a West Virginia supplier.
And it was pretty bipartisan, too, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a Republican and Democrat position on pepperoni rolls. So
it's a universal human value, Scott.
Now, there are Republican and Democrat positions, I believe, on the Don Blankenship trial, which just ended recently. Why, Rick, is this important?
I thought all along that it was historic, the fact that a federal indictment came down to the CEO of a major company. That's never happened. Usually, you know, when anything like this happens, they're able to keep the blame very low on the corporate chain. And this time it went all the way up. I thought whatever the verdict was, that was going to be very historically significant. I think it does send a message that there are limits to what you can do with other people's lives.
Lori, what do you think is the impact of this trial?
Well, I have to say I was pleased, you know, with that there was a verdict. You know, there was a period in there where the jury was deliberating and they kept saying they, you know, they couldn't come to an agreement. And it was just a little bit of a circus atmosphere. The media person contacted a juror and it got a little bit messy and you sort of felt like, oh no, is this just not going to reflect well on, you know, our federal judicial system? But as it turned out, you know, the jury did reach a verdict. The system worked, I think, as intended. Judge Berger did a pretty good job of, you know, controlling the courtroom and the process. And so, you know, I think it was, if nothing else, it was a victory for our legal system that we were able to get to a clear verdict and not end up with a hung jury.
And I thought it was interesting that some of the jurors said that they didn't know that, you know, the conspiring to get around mine safety laws held such a light penalty. And let me just say, how sad is it that the penalties for SEC and corporate reporting stuff are much more severe than those that involve the lives of working people? That's sad.
Speaking of sad, West Virginia continues to be ground zero for an epidemic of prescription drug abuse and now increasingly heroin abuse. West Virginia Public Broadcasting did what I thought was a really excellent series on how that's changing, especially heroin abuse now is changing the face of West Virginia. It even helped to bring President Barack Obama to Charleston earlier this year to talk about this.
And let's face it, there's still fear and shame and stigma that too often surrounds substance abuse and often prevents people from seeking the help that they deserve.
It's sad that it had to be in this context, but I think it was important that he came, and he certainly came to the right place if he wanted to talk about addiction and, you know, the heroin epidemic.
Well, let me add on the good point about West Virginia leading the way on this. There's a facility called Lily's Place in Huntington. Helps the mothers and the babies, newborn babies who are born addicted to these drugs, to get on their feet. And I was just talking to Kim Tiemann of the Benedum Foundation. They're helping to fund some of this. Not only are they having a huge success in helping these babies to detox and get a good start, but also the vast majority of the mothers that go through there are getting clean and are able to keep their babies. And so much so that Congressman Evan Jenkins was able to pass a bill in the U.S. Congress mm-hmm. that helps to make it easier for places like Lily's Place to be able to exist and to get started in other states. Because my understanding is this is a really unique program that we have right here in Huntington, West Virginia.
I'd also like to give a shout out to picking the East End Community Center as a place to go. I mean, that's a place where people are working every day to help families and be a safe haven. So great choice of location.
Another big story for us, number 7 on our list, the debate over images of Appalachia. By far, these were the most popular stories on our website. One story was about, you might remember, Marisha and Jesse Camp came to southern West Virginia, McDowell County in particular, and got into a really tense situation over whether or not they were taking pictures of children without the parents' permission.
No pictures of any children on it.
No, and you can check it.
Not of your kids. I can show you, like...
Yeah, you guys are making us out to be like
you
crazy.
You guys are really making us out to be people that we're not. And
what,
like,
y'all listen to me.
Bring your buddies up here.
Why are you taking pictures of kids for?
We are not. We're on vacation. Dude, we take pictures of houses.
You don't need to take pictures of even a goddamn rock. Put your camera away.
God damn it, we're on vacation.
Put your camera away. I don't give a damn where you're from.
And then on top of that, Vice magazine, which is kind of the hot new magazine for the kids nowadays, millennials like you, Lori.
Which is why I had never heard of it.
They sent two photographers down to Eastern Kentucky, one of which did photos that were very freak show-like, called 2 Days in Appalachia, and the controversy erupted out of that. Why is it that these photos and these stories about photos seem to be so explosive here in Appalachia, Rick?
I mean, there's a whole history of a caricatured image of Appalachia going back to the late 1800s, and I think it's a perennial issue. I think there are probably going to be incidents like this for a good while to come.
Number one, top story, according to the Front Porch this year, is...
the creation of the Front Porch.
Yeah, April 2015, she'll go down in history, man.
It's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate being part of it.
I remember reading this Lori Lynn op-ed in the Daily Mail. I was like, okay, you know, one of these days. And, you know, we used to call it Scott's Vanity Project, too. When we would...
Oh, it's definitely Scott's Vanity Project. Yeah. I haven't wavered from that.
This is my vanity? That's kind of sad. No, it's been a ton of fun. And I had ulterior motives in starting this. I wanted to get myself on the air. Here I am. But also, just so tired of the sort of arguing that you hear... and increasingly is creeping into the debates here in West Virginia as well.
Well, and you guys had backed away, you were saying, from opinion, you know, being on the air as much, and you know, for whatever reason that was. But I think this is a great way to get it back on.
Hey, we'll be right back to the Front Porch in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about another podcast at West Virginia Public Broadcasting that you got to listen to if you haven't yet, Inside Appalachia. All the stories about the culture, the arts, the people, the history of the region that we all love. Hosted by Jessica Lilly, produced by Roxy Todd. You can listen to it, of course, on West Virginia Public Radio on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. But if you want to listen to it on your own time, then check it out on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and of course, as always, at wvpublic.org. And we're going to play a little game right now, actually, which is called Predictions for 2016. We are going to make an audio time capsule right now here. We're going to put it in the special corner, the cornerstone of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and dig it out in a few months and see if we were right. So, Lori, what are your predictions about the next year's elections and what's going to happen with the Republicans in the West Virginia House, Senate, constitutional officers, governor?
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, so I'm very confident that that Republicans will keep the West Virginia House of Delegates. They have a very comfortable margin there. The Senate, I think, will be a lot closer. The margin is obviously a lot tighter there. Senator Cole is leaving. Senator Kessler's leaving. Maybe another couple of senators. I think that they probably will manage to hang on to the Senate as well. You know, it really depends so much on who's at the top of the ticket, both in terms of the presidential nominees and the governor. If they have huge excitement around Hillary Clinton for the Democrats, that will obviously help them down further down on the ballot. Yeah, I think they will keep both houses of the legislature. That's my prediction. I think Bill Cole will manage to pull it off over presumably Jim Justice.
So I'll make my prediction. It's going to be very simple. Republicans in West Virginia will win the state house, the state senate, every single constitutional office except for Secretary of State Natalie Tennant, and that'll be close, and the governor's mansion. I think it's going to be a clean sweep. You look at Kentucky and what happened there earlier this year. We're going to have a replay of that in West Virginia. People are really angry at the collapse of the coal industry, and they're blaming Democrats for a while.
But do you think that changes if, for example, there's a really weak Republican presidential nominee?
Let me add another prediction.
Louisiana went. I mean, is that?
I think West Virginia Republicans would vote for Trump.
I agree with that, actually. Yes. I don't know how turnout would be, but I do think even if it was a Trump versus Hillary race, I think they would vote for Trump.
West Virginia primary, I think that Trump will be triumphant here. Rick, you don't love predictions quite as much as we do.
Like the saying that history is a study of surprises, and if you look at history, it's these high impact, low probability things that really rock our world. So, and also I'm a lover of Dante, and in the Inferno, people who predict the future have their heads turned around backwards.
I have asked him to predict the weather because I'm very interested in not having another, 12-degree morning like we had several of last winter. So
I am totally down. We have unity on that. Okay. I predict volatility. I don't think
the weather. Okay.
I do think the weather is going to get weirder and weirder, not necessarily hotter and hotter in a line, but I think we're in for a time of volatility.
So Rick predicts one black swan type weather event in West Virginia next year that we would all agree, yeah, that was beyond the pale. Kind of like the derecho, right?
Yeah, that was a mess.
Or a blizzard in October.
Yeah, one thing. All right, I'll give you that.
We don't have another underwriter, but I do feel it's appropriate to announce that West Virginia Public Broadcasting plays 24/7 in our goat barn. So.
Is that a new development?
It's a fairly new development, yeah.
Why did your goats choose West Virginia Public Broadcasting?
You know, it was tight for a while. Some of them wanted to go to FM 105, but you know.
Well, that's great. I hope that we relax your goats, entertain, inform, enlighten, and all that stuff. Has milk production gone up?
They're pregnant right now, so we're hopeful it will go up when they deliver.
All right, you'll have a lot of little baby Mozarts coming out of these goats, basically.
Yeah. Makes them smarter.
That's right.
Which is actually more trouble when you're dealing with goats.
If you play West Virginia Public Broadcasting for your farm animals, please let us know. sfin@wvpublic.org. Tweet at me at Radio Finn, El Cabrero, or WV Pundet, although she's thinking of changing that. Thanks again to Lori Lynn of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone.
And Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee.
And the same.
Take care and thanks for listening.